Well, good morning, New Hope Bible Church, from my house to yours. I hope you're doing well, and thanks for joining us today at for our online service. This morning, I want to start off at Calvary. Really, that's the whole reason for the church, is because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection. And so we can gather together because we are a part of the family of God due to his sacrifice at Calvary. This song, written by William Newell, is a song that many of you know. It's actually entitled At Calvary. So join me in singing At Calvary this morning. Savior's sacrifice at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened full soul found liberty at Calvary. The next song we're going to sing is a song that reminds us of just who our God is and how he is in control of all things and how his reign will be forevermore, scripture tells us. This song's called Everlasting God. what wonderful hope we have. The fact that God sits on his throne, that he is in control, and that Christ's reign is forevermore. Well, the final song we're going to sing before the sermon has to do with the sermon. You see, Peter's going to talk about the importance of humility in our life. And so this song talks about our humble approach to Christ. Humble I come. I'm unable to offer a gift fit for a king, but all I have I gladly bring. Jesus, be glorified through my surrendered life. Jesus, be glorified in me. Those are the words to the song, Surrender, written by Todd Proctor. That's the cry of all of our spirits as we look to heaven, thinking of Christ. There isn't much we can offer compared to who he is. But our prayer, and my prayer, is that I would offer myself to him. That every day would be a resurrendering of my life to Jesus in service. Well, how about I pray and then we'll make our way to church. Father, I thank you for this time together. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the strength that we can find in it, the guidance we can find in it, the wisdom you have for us through it. Father, I pray that today we would be challenged with this concept of humility. Father, may we learn to be who you've called us to be in order to impact the world around us for your glory and the salvation of others. Father, that's our prayer. So use us this day and teach us this day. May we have a teachable spirit as we humbly approach your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you at church. Understanding what he has for us this particular day. And as we find ourselves in Peter's letter, particularly in the closing remarks of his letter, chapter 5, we ask ourselves the question, what does Peter have for us this morning? What does God have for us this morning? And this morning, without doing any sort of long introduction, I want to jump right into the text. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Last week we worked our way through the first five verses, and we talked about God's design for a healthy church, and the prescription for a healthy church has to do with elders leading in a biblical way, a godly, a righteous way. It has to do with the sheep, the congregation, then submitting to leadership that God has placed in a church. And then Peter uses that phrase, clothe yourself in all humility. That's where I want to begin this morning, because I think it will springboard us into what Peter has for us this day. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5a is where I want to, or 5b is where I want to begin, where Peter says, and all of you. So he's talking to all of us, not just elders, not just younger men, not just younger families, but every single believer in the church. So that's every one of us at New Hope Bible Church. All of you, me included. Verse 5, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let's stop there, and let's use this verse to bridge us into what we're going to talk about today. And today's message is on humility and peace, or pride and anxiety. What I want us to realize is that there is a strong connection between a humble spirit, one who clothes themselves in all humility, and peace of mind. Now, prior to studying this week, I really never knew that connection. I mean, it makes sense. Logically, I might have seen it in the shadows here and there, but I never really fully saw that connection between pride and anxiety, pride and worry, and humility and peace. And so that's where I think Peter's taking us this day, as we look at one of the marks of I would say, spiritual maturity, is our people who willingly submit to the leadership in the church, and towards a relationship of humility towards one another. And therefore, Peter, off of that passage, of this idea of clothing ourselves in humility, he begins to then lead us into this understanding of humility's relationship with peace. So continue reading with me. Verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter continues by writing, therefore, after you've clothed yourself in humility, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. That's where we're going this day. But before we get any further, let's go to the Lord in prayer, asking him to guide our thoughts this morning. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for who you are, Lord. You are God we can depend upon, a God who has proven himself faithful time and time again, a God who is loving and good, even in the midst of a uncertain world, in the midst of shaken confidences, Father, we can be confident in you. We can be certain of you and your sovereignty in our lives. And Father, knowing that you are a good God, we come to you this morning. Help us to understand what is the root of our anxiety, the root of our worry, and help us to learn to cast that on you, trusting in your care for us. So, Father, thank you what you're going to teach us this morning through the guidance of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, 18% of America's population battle anxiety. That is roughly 40 million people. Think about it. 18% battle anxiety, or at least are clinically being treated for the issues of anxiety in their lives. 40 million people. Now, the truth is that
100% of all people struggle with anxiety at some point in their life. It may not be a daily battle for them, but it is a battle for them at some point in their life. And so this thought that Peter's, this truth that Peter's giving us about how to overcome our anxiety is one that is relevant and practical to every single person. Not just 18% of the American population that clinically suffers from anxiety disorders. You see, anxiety is a feeling that comes in to our thoughts and ruins our days, and it's brought on by all sorts of things. But I believe if we were to place our anxieties into two categories, it would be a category of things out of my control and things that I am uncertain of. Future things that I cannot see the outcome of around the corner. Therefore, we worry about it. Things that are out of our control. I can't control this. I'm trying and I can't control it. And so now I worry about it. Those are the two major categories of anxiety and worry that we find ourselves in, one or the other. And I'm sure that if you examine and evaluate your life, you would be nodding along with me saying, yes, I'm in one of those areas, maybe even this day. And so Peter seeks to help a church that he's just told you will face greater persecution than you already have. You will find yourself in a fiery ordeal. So prepare for it. Get ready for it. Establish the pillars of the church and leadership forms so that when you enter it, you can stay strong in the midst of it. Peter's preparing them for what's to come. And boy, oh boy, that persecution that does come down the corridors of time into their laps at the hands of Emperor Nero and a wicked Roman government is going to be very harsh. And so there is much to be anxious about and worried over in the church that Peter's writing to. And so he's writing to this anxious church, and he's telling them they don't have to be anxious, that they can have victory over anxiety, and they can do so through humility and trust. Now, as Peter writes these words concerning humility and worry, I often wonder if he thought of Jesus' words. In John's Gospel, we read in the 14th chapter that the disciples were facing a very anxious time. See, John 13:33, Jesus tells them, "Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." So he's telling the disciples at this portion towards the end of his ministry that I'm leaving you. I get this illustration, this picture of a family sitting around a table at a restaurant and the parents saying to their children, we are going to leave. Mom and I, we're going to leave. We're going to leave you and you're going to have to stay here. Where we're going, you can't follow us. Can you imagine the anxiety and the worry and the stress that would fall on that child? That's the exact place these disciples found themselves. They had committed their entire lives, giving up their careers to follow after Jesus, and he was changing their world and their lives in a positive way. And now their master, their leader, their savior, their Messiah has just told them, in a little while, I'm leaving you, and you can't follow me. And so we get this picture, this idea of the anxiety that these disciples must have felt, Peter included. And what Jesus does in that 14th chapter is he tells them, understanding their anxiety and how it has overtaken their thoughts, he tells them to not let their hearts be troubled. In fact, his words exactly were, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." That word believe that he's calling them to do, that is to battle the troubles of their anxious hearts. That word believe is the same word for faith and trust. Believe. Trust God. Trust also in me. You see, I'm sure Peter, as he writes these words, he can't help but reflect upon those words of Christ, those words of his Savior, as he was battling anxiety and worry. His Savior said, "Trust me. Trust God. Don't let your hearts be troubled." So sort of echoing those words, Peter gives similar instructions to a worried church. Do not let your heart worry. Do not let your heart be anxious. Do not let your heart be fearful. Do not let your heart tremble. But trust God. Trust Jesus. Martin Luther says that those words of Jesus were the best and most comforting words that Jesus Christ delivered on earth, a treasure and a jewel not to be purchased with the world's goods. And so, with that in mind, I want to see this connection that Peter draws between a humble heart and the ability to trust God. Or, on the other side, a prideful heart and the inability to trust God, which leads to worry, which is another word for choke. So, Peter's letter, it's very clear to me, for the first time, really, that I've made this connection, that there is a connection between humility and peace. But before we get to that point, let's talk first about this battle within us, this battle that we just described that the disciples must have felt, this battle that have led into us having, this battle between humility and pride. We'll talk about how it connects to anxiety in a few minutes, but there is a battle within us, a battle between humility and pride. That's why Peter spends great lengths talking to the church, and he's telling them, if you want to be healthy, you need to be humble. You need to clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. And he says strong words, quoting from Proverbs. James uses the exact same words. He says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Pride and humility are on two opposing spectrums. They are at war with one another, and the default position of every human is pride. You see, we are infected with sin, and at the core of every sin, I believe, is pride. It is the sin that caused Lucifer to fall from heaven. It is the sin that connects every other sin in our life is pride. Pride is the spark that ignites a fire of sin in our life. Now, with that being said, you must then have to wonder if this idea of pride versus humility is one of the themes in Scripture. And I simply tell you, yes, I easily found 100 Bible verses and then stopped counting because the list kept going on things that God had to say about pride. And I want to read just a few of those to you. So here are a few words in Scripture, both Old and New Testament, that speak to pride and proudful hearts. Proverbs 11, verse 2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:23 says, one's pride will bring him low. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud. Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. Psalm 10, verse 4 says, in the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, a man's heart is proud. Romans 12, do not be haughty. Do not be proud. Never be wise in your own sight. Proverbs 26:12, do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Those are just a few of the verses I came across giving understanding of how God views a proud heart. He opposes the proud. He brings disgrace to the proud. He judges the proud. An arrogant heart is an abomination to the Lord. and will not go unpunished. That arrogant pride that says, I can do all things through me, will only bring about destruction. And when we find out that we cannot change certain things in our life and we aren't in control of other things in our life, and then that pride that says, I can do all things, that haughty heart will lead to anxiety. I never saw that connection before today. So that's what the Bible has to speak about pride, some very harsh words. Now let's read about how the Bible has to speak about humility. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. God leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his ways. One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land. Seek humility. So we see all throughout Scripture, in the Old and New Testament, and forgive me for not giving those references to humility, but trust me, they were found in the Old and New Testament alike. God views humility as a step towards maturity and blessing and honor. He tells us it's something that we should seek. In fact, that last passage I read, found in Zephaniah 2, verse 3, compares seeking the Lord and seeking humility as being synonymous, being the same. And so what we find is that God backs up this phrase in verse 6 when he talks about humbling yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time. God backs that up. Pride and humility. There's a tension between the two, and God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And so we should strive to be humble. We should strive to exchange our pride, our prideful that leads to anxiety, our pridefulness that leads to worry, and exchange that for a humility that leads to peace. So there is this battle between the two, humility and pride. Verse 6 tells us that we are to humble ourselves, that we are to battle off, fight down our prideful our pride for flesh, our prideful feelings, and humbly place ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now think about it. Placing ourselves under the mighty hand of God, first of all, it can only be done if you are humble. Second of all, can you think of any better place to be than under the mighty hand of God? You see, this speaks to God's sovereign control in your life, and it changes the way we view everything in life when we understand that we are under his powerful hand of provision for all things, his loving embrace. We place ourselves willingly under that with a humble heart, trusting in his sovereign purpose, his sovereign plan, and his sovereignty in our lives. And Also, when we do that, we are giving away our control. We are giving away our understanding of future, what is going to happen to us. We're giving away those prideful things, and we are placing our hand under him, trusting in his perfect timing. Verse 6 says, that he may exalt you at the proper time, all in his timing. So coupled with the goodness of God and his mighty hand is a willingness to completely trust his perfect and good timing. Humility puts on God's timetable and not our own. So when we clothe ourselves in humility, that's part of what it is. It's trusting God's perfect provision and perfect timing in our lives. Now remember, Peter's writing this letter to a church that has experienced and will continue to experience on a rising level persecution and suffering. And when they do, they're not to allow pride, anger, and resentment to control their lives. But Peter's encouraging them to fight down that pride and allow humility to guide their actions towards one another all along the way, trusting in God's perfect timing and his perfect plan for their life, knowing that their trials are only temporary. See, that's when we find ourselves worrying the most, in the midst of trials, whether they are trials coming our way, trials we think are coming our way, or trials we are in the midst of. That's when we worry the most. And so Peter is drawing a connection to the two things. He's saying, humble yourself, and as you do so, you will be submitting yourself to God's sovereignty in your life, understanding that you are placing yourself in the mighty hand, the loving hand of a sovereign God, trusting in his perfect timing. And when you do so, I believe, Scripture tells us, that you can have victory over anxiety. And only then can you have victory over worry and anxiety. You see, because there is a connection between humility and peace, and pride and anxiety. For in the same sentence, not only does he say, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time, trust his timing, but while you're doing so, cast all your cares or cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That's that connection that we have, that God's word gives us between trusting, humbly trusting God and peace. We miss that often because we often take that verse and we pluck it from Scripture and we cause it to stand on its own. It's a great verse on its own because it reminds us to have the proper perspective. It encourages us to strengthen our faith and our trust in him. But at the same time, we miss that connection. We don't realize that it is our very own pride that causes us to have anxiety. And yet when we humbly place ourselves under the mighty hand of God, then that has a direct correlation and connection to our anxious thoughts, bringing us peace, because we understand that he has all things under control. And so Peter gives us this prescription, this remedy for worry and for anxiety. It is humility coupled with trusting God. And what are we trusting God to do? What are we trusting God to be? The all-powerful, mighty provider and loving God. That's who we're trusting him to be. We're trusting his word when it says that God's hand that we are placing ourselves under is mighty. We're trusting Scripture when it tells us that we can give our burdens to him because he loves you. He cares for us. That's what we're trusting God in doing, and it takes humility to do that. Now, think about it. Peter understands worry. Peter understands it because he was a worrier. When he walked out on the water, He saw the waves around him, and he began to worry. Although Jesus was right there, he began to worry, and he sunk. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus, he was worried that Jesus would somehow be captured by the Romans and that he wouldn't fulfill his purposes. And so he grabs his sword and chops an ear off. Peter was worried in the courtyard when Jesus was in trial in the court and denied knowing him three times because he was worried he would suffer the same fate that it looked like Jesus was heading toward. And so Peter was a worrier. That was one of the characteristics that marked him as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And yet he learned that he can trust Christ. He can trust God and his mighty hand of provision and sovereignty in his life. Why? Because he was reminded that God loves him. God cares for him. And so he writes these words, and they have a wonderful truth coming from the life of worry in Peter's life. And he writes, cast all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. There will come a day soon, Lord willing, where we'll be able to leave our basements and our houses and enter into the world again. When that day comes, there will still be many of you, many of us, who have more questions than we have answers. We don't know what will be around the corner. In a very real sense, speaking to this pandemic we find ourselves in, we aren't sure if a second wave will come through in the fall. We don't know if a vaccination will ever be found. We are uncertain if this will take a different path and just sort of become irrelevant, disappearing like SARS. We don't know what the future holds when it comes time to this. And so many of us are living in fear. We've locked ourselves in and we've with a fearful loving spirit we've decided to not go into the world, but the day is coming soon when those doors will swing open. The world will call you forth again, and you will have an opportunity to go back to work, an opportunity to go back to church, an opportunity to be a part of large gatherings again. And when that day comes, your anxieties will be tested. Question that I think Peter would ask you is, will you humble yourself? Will you clothe yourself in humility? Will you willingly place yourself under the mighty hand of God, knowing that he cares for you, and give up anxiety? Or will you pridefully carry on your problems, exclaiming, I can do it, or I can't do it, and lock yourself inside, or come about this with the wrong attitude, and therefore not give your anxieties to God, but take them yourself and carry that burden yourself. It's really an easy choice, but one that becomes hard with uncertainty and things out of our control. And so that day will come. Maybe you find yourself in that day right now. If that's you, I want to leave you with these words. He cares for you. He cares for you. You can trust God's love. You can rest in his faithfulness. He's proven to be powerful and sovereign. And you can lean on his provisions. Our God is a good God, friends. And so we can trust in him during this time and cast our anxieties upon him, for he cares for you. Now, there are a few things most certain in life, and I'll end with this. On one side of life's certainties is that there will be times when things are completely out of your control. There will certainly be times when you can't see around the corner of what the future will hold. On the other spectrum of certainties in life, God is faithful, God is loving, God is powerful. In those times, we have the choice. Which of life's certainty will we go towards? My hope for myself and for you is that we will, when those moments of uncertainty come, we will cast our anxieties on Him, resting and trusting in His perfect love for us. For He cares for you. Next time you're struggling with anxiety, remember those words. He cares for you. And humble yourself enough to trust in Him. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the truths of your word that you've taught us. And Lord, I pray that this day, whatever anxious things come our way, that we would trust you. That we would give you those out of control things in our life, that we would give you, casting on you those uncertain things in life, that we would give you our uncertain future. We don't know what tomorrow will hold. We don't know what the next 5 minutes will hold. And so much of life is out of our control, and that can be a scary place. So, Father, help us to trust you all the more in those moments, learning to humble ourselves enough to place ourselves under your mighty hand so that we can cast our cares on you. And Father, we thank you so much for caring for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you go about this week, I pray that you'd be encouraged by these words. Meditate on those final words that Peter gave us in verse 6 or 7. He cares for you. Have a great week. God bless. Hope to see you real soon.